Okay, go ahead. You have a question?
Yeah, this might sound a little weird, the question. But what do you do when subconsciously you know there is something wrong, like a thought that is wrong, that the subconscious is like into, but the conscious mind just doesn't agree with it and it's not thinking about it at all? So basically, it's like,
that's a very good question.
So if you know something's wrong, but you don't know how, you can't think yourself out of it.
Yeah. This is a good question. What do you do when you're into something that in the conscious mind you know is wrong and the subconscious mind basically likes it? Right? That's a very good question. And this is the nature of a lust pattern. A lust pattern is not usually something that the conscious mind likes. A lust pattern is usually something that the conscious mind does not like in the believer who's been taught. And you may actually be even sickened by your own lust patterns. Now, the first thing to realize is that every person has a prevailing lust pattern. There are six fundamental types of lust patterns, but every person has one that is prevailing. You can have a lust for recognition. You can have a sensual lust. And sensual lust isn't just a sexual lust. Sensual lust is those things which appeal to the emotions and feelings, the things of the senses. You can have a lust for money and material things. You can have a lust for power. There are different types. You can have a lust for recognition by people. There are different types of lust patterns, but everybody has one that prevails. Now, when I say one that prevails, I don't mean one that controls them. I mean one that is stronger than the others. And this is part of the flesh. And that will be the case until the day you go home to be with the Lord. The nice thing about heaven is there are no lust patterns. Now, interestingly enough, in the millennial reign, which is yet to come, Satan and his angels will be bound in Tartarus, the region of hell that is made for him. And the world will be a much more pure place. I think people don't realize and recognize how much Satan plays on their lust patterns. But it will be a much more pure place. Until the last 3.5 years, of course, when Satan is allowed out of hell with his angels, and multitudes will follow him. Now, what do you do when you have a prevailing lust pattern you may have a conviction against, but in your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, your head is sick, your heart is faint? What do you do? Well, the first thing you do is you don't get condemned. Condemnation is counterproductive. Condemnation has never helped anybody into godliness. Condemnation just keeps your focus on the lust pattern. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. You see, what you focus on is what you will pursue. That is why Israel had to focus on the brazen serpent rather than on their snake bites. So you don't get condemned over the fact that you are human and you have a lust pattern. Every human on the face of the planet does. But you don't live in that lust pattern either. So initially you may have to start making objective decisions that go counter to your emotions, but you make them because they, you know, they are the objective truth, and the objective truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. So at first, for a believer who hasn't overcome yet, the first step to overcoming is living in objectivity. And if your hand offends you, cut off your hand. If your eye offends you, cut out your eye. And obviously that's not talking literally. So those things which would spur on that lust pattern in you, you don't partake of them. You don't hang around them. If you are someone who had in their past trouble with alcohol, you don't hang around bars. If you are a young woman who has had lust patterns after men, you don't hang around those. You don't hang around men. Likewise, if you are a young man who has had trouble with young women, you don't hang around young women. If you are someone who has had trouble with material lust, you don't hang around in the mall. So if your eye offends you, you pluck out your eye. You don't hang around it. You cut yourself off from it, and you just don't partake, so that you don't feed that lust pattern. Remember, it's in a manner of speaking, the dog you feed is the dog that will be stronger. If I feed my lust pattern will be stronger. If I feed my relationship with God, my relationship with God will be stronger. So you don't feed the lust pattern. You cut yourself off from it in objectivity, even though your emotions may protest, because the emotions respond to the lust pattern. So you get away from it. You don't entertain it. You don't go near it. You don't get around it. If you're someone who has trouble with impurity, you don't go soul winning in the red light district. Although other people who don't have a lust pattern in that area might go soul winning in the red light district, and God bless them for doing that. In our own church, we've had multiple prostitutes get saved, cleaned up their life, totally transformed, pure as snow, through the Word of God and the blood of Christ. You would have no idea. I know they're there. I don't know who they are. You'd never be able to tell. Why? Because God transformed them. But somebody without a lust pattern in that area went, found them, brought them to Christ, changed their life, restored them to complete purity. Any prostitute can be pure as snow if she comes to God. God can restore a person's life no matter how broken it may be. God is in the business of restoration. God will restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten away. God can restore a life. God can take a broken life and fix it, and make it whole and make it new, and make even the most vilest of decisions behind you, removed from you, its effects completely gone. The person who lives in the worst, nastiest, most sinful life, to be completely made whole and new and clean and pure. God removes the old things and imparts the new things. But you have a lust pattern and you remove yourself from it, but just removing yourself from it is not enough. Because the lust pattern will still exist, and you can't take yourself out of the world, so you will not be able to help but encounter something that would trigger it eventually. So what do? Well, you replace it. You see, the lust pattern will go away, not as in being eradicated, but its effects will go away when I pick up my cross through the Word of God and the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, the lust pattern is just another part of the flesh. And it is the flesh. It is a physical thing in my members. It is in my blood. It is in my DNA. It is the corrupt part of mankind. But I do not need to live in the effects even in my subconscious, although my conscious objective mind says no. Well, the fact, first of all, that my conscious objective mind says no is a good sign. That means that there is something in my heart now competing for my affections, where before it was just the lust pattern. But now I recognize that there is something greater, although I still have a flesh, although I still haven't overcome it. At least in my conscience, there is something I know is greater and I recognize is greater and I even desire more. So as I cut myself away from that lust pattern, as I remove myself from people and situations who would spur on that lust pattern, I also take in the Word of God more and more and more, and I receive God's promises and I fellowship with God and I fellowship with pure godly people who will not trigger that lust pattern. I recognize the source of the trigger, that the source of the trigger is Satan through the world appealing to my flesh. And yes, it is Satan appealing to my flesh, using the world and that lust pattern to get to my heart. So I replace the effect. What do? I replace it with doctrine. I replace it with the Word. I let the Word of God transform me from inside out. I pick up my cross through the power of the Holy Spirit as I am empowered by His illumination of the Word of God to my heart. And as I receive the Word, it's not just that I receive thoughts or concepts or ideas or intellectual stimuli. The Word of God is quick and it is powerful. It is not just words on paper, it is life. Remember, the Word became flesh and the Word becomes flesh again every time it transforms the believer's life. It has the power to transform. It's not just ideas, it is a transforming force. The Word of God is not what the world sees. It is not simply words written on paper, bound in a leather book. The Word of God has real power. And it has the power to change a man's heart. It has the power to transform from within. And as I receive the Word of God, I'm empowered by the Word of God through the Holy Spirit to pick up my cross, deny my lust pattern, and follow after Christ. And as I keep receiving and keep receiving, and this is not an instantaneous process, it is a process. It takes us some time. As I keep receiving, God's life is worked in me, God's character is worked in me, God's mind is worked in me, God's heart is worked in me, and the lust pattern stops to have a hold on me. But it started with the objective realization in my conscious mind that this is not a good thing, that the Word of God is better. Do you see why it's so important to receive the Word of God? Can you see how it is not possible to live a life with God apart from the Word of God? It's not possible. Do you see why it is so imperative that you receive the Word of God, and me too, every single day? It's the only provision I have. The Holy Spirit speaks the Word of God in my heart. That is the language of God. It is His mind. How do I deal with the lust pattern? Through objectivity, not through subjectivity, not through my emotions, not through my feelings, not even through my desires, but through the objective Word of God, making decisions based on the objective Word of God, not in legalism, but in faith. Not as a works program to be pleasing to God, in faith knowing that if I have the Word of God, it'll have an effect in my heart. There's nothing about being pleasing to God. I can't be any more pleasing to God. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. How much more pleasing does it get? But the Word of God transforming me from within through objectivity, through receiving it daily, eliminates the effects of my lust patterns. I don't live in them because they have been replaced. They haven't been removed. They've been pushed aside. Their effect has been removed because I'm not living in them. I'm not even living in their consciousness, and I'm not living in the desire. And ultimately, my subconscious won't desire either, because as the Word of God takes over the frame of reference, it enters the subconscious mind and purges it. Purges out the wrong influences, purges out the wrong thoughts, purges out the wrong experiences, purges out the wrong memories, purges it, it just purges it. Then as I fellowship with the Word of God and I learn about the love of God, I learn about the blood of Christ, I learn about the cross, my conscience is cleansed. And as my conscience is cleansed, I'm set free from things that may have plagued me for years and years. Do you know why so many believers focus on faults and failures and sin, and so much preaching of sin now there's got to be some preaching of sin, that's not what I mean, that there shouldn't be, but why that is such a, the legalism aspect is such a big focus? Do you know why that is? Why so many times you find legalism instead of grace? One, they don't trust grace, and two, it's the enemy's plan, because in legalism, it strengthens sin by keeping my focus on the failure, rather than keeping my focus on the solution. I keep focusing on the problem, and the problem becomes bigger and stronger and bigger and stronger and bigger and stronger, until it overwhelms me, until I get to the place where I said, I can't overcome it, I quit. And I succumb to the problem, I give up, and I say, this is who I am, this is who I always will be, this is who I've always been. I accept the enemy's lie, and I fail as a lifestyle, because I quit and I simply succumb to the desires that I think I have in a lust pattern. And so I finally go after it. It's the enemy's plan. Legalism is the enemy's plan. It is the diametric opposite of life. Legalism and life are opposites. I don't get legalistic, I walk in faith. I don't respond in the law, I respond in faith. I don't do something because I should, I do something because I need. I need God's Word. I need purity. I need convictions. Why? So I'd be pleasing to God? No. So I can live. I need these things simply to live. So I can have a fellowship with God that I need. The blood has made me acceptable. It's not about acceptable. Faith brings in practical experiential righteousness because it brings in practical objective decisions. And as I believe God and God's Word in objectivity, pushing aside what my feelings may have to say, because they don't think. You know where believers get in trouble? They try to think with their feelings. They make decisions on the basis of their feelings. And they get in trouble there. Their feelings cannot think. They can only respond. They cannot initiate a thought. And believers left and right try to think with them. And so what they're doing is responding everywhere. So the latest thing that comes along and tantalizes is what they respond to. And sometimes it doesn't tantalize. Sometimes it brings other emotions, fear, whatever. And they respond in their emotions as though their emotions were their mind. Trouble is, they don't have this mind in them that was also in Christ Jesus, so they don't have a mind, so to speak, to think with. They only have their flesh. But the Word of God deals with my... Let the Word of God deal with your lust pattern. If you have a lust pattern, and you do, and you recognize it, It's good that you recognize this weakness. Now, what will you do? You live in objectivity. You respond in objective faith to the objective word, not according to your feelings. Cut off relationships or circumstances or things that would feed that lust patterns. Fellowship with that thing which feeds the soul in godliness. Receive the Word of God continuously until it transforms you in the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart regarding the various things in your life, your heart becomes transformed, your lust pattern and your flesh get pushed aside, God's life becomes your life, and you're reflecting God's image back to God as He's reflecting His image to you, or initiating His image to you. You have a walk with God. People will live in their lust patterns because they enjoy them. They know they can't do something outwardly, but they would like to. So instead, they will live feeding a lust pattern because that's as close as they feel comfortable or like they can come to actually doing the deed, whatever the deed may be. That's one of the reasons why people like television, because it feeds their lust patterns. It's a vicarious experience. Gross vicarious experience. Whatever it is that feeds the lust pattern, cut it off. Just get rid of it. Your emotions may protest. Tell your emotions to take a hike. Get rid of it. And then you'll experience some real transformation in your heart. Through the Word of God, when the truth sets you free, you are free indeed. Let the truth set you free. What is the truth? Christ's mind. I am the truth, the way, and the life. The Word became flesh. Christ's mind. God's Word. Not apart from the Spirit. There is no such thing as God's Word apart from the Spirit. It is only the letter of the law then. And that kills. Another reason why it's so important to have an anointed, godly, finished work, grace-preaching pastor. Why is that so important? Because he can impart the finished work, or he can impart the law. He's going to impart something. And what he imparts will determine how well you're doing. Replace your lust patterns with the Word of God. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen. Plain and simple. The key, always, whatever it is, absolutely anything, whatever it is, whether it's a lust pattern, whether it's some kind of a fear, whether it's mental illness. Now, some certain types of like depression and mental, whatever other types of things, or mental illnesses, or I heard a tape recently where Pastor Stevens was saying that schizophrenia is a huge problem in the church, though not recognized. The key, unless there's an organic cause, and sometimes there is, but the key to overcoming these things that are of the flesh, regardless of what element of the flesh they bring up, is always the same key. The Word of God through the Holy Spirit transforming the mind. Mixing faith with what you hear. Choosing an objectivity, and faith is an objective choice. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is an objective choice. Choosing an objectivity to walk in faith, to obey in faith obedience the Word of God, to receive it in faith obedience, knowing that it will do a work in you. Receive from your prayer, meditation, from your personal study, Receive from your pastor. Receive from the right people in the body of Christ, because not everybody has the life of God flowing out of them, although they may be the body. Not every branch in the vine is a fruitful branch. Receive, 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 receive. It's that simple. Mix faith with what you hear. Receiving without mixing faith is pointless. It's meaningless and it has no effect. And it doesn't have to be great faith, and it's not an emotional thing. It is that objective choice. God said it, I'll believe it, I'll make decisions according to it. That simple. But as I keep receiving, as my mind is transformed, those decisions will not just be objective faith, but they will be subjective substance. That's where the transformed heart comes in, transformed mind. Does that answer your question?